Good evening. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries on this Pentecost Sunday. So glad you have chosen to join us. In Jewish tradition, this is Shavuot. But before we get into today's message, let's open in prayer. Abba Father, we thank you for this day, a day that marks your faithfulness from generation to generation. As we gather on this Pentecost Sunday, we remember Shavuot, the day you gave your word at Sinai, and the day you poured out your spirit in Jerusalem. Thank you for drawing each of us here, for the gift of community, and for the promise that when we gather in your name, you are with us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Move among us. Open our minds and soften our hearts. Speak to us through your word and by your presence. Fill this place with your peace, your joy, your power. Lead us deeper into the love of Yeshua. And make us aware of your nearness. Tune us into you in your presence, Holy Spirit. Let us leave tonight changed, not just by what we hear, but by encountering you. Father, we pray for every person here. Meet every need, heal every hurt, and draw every heart closer to you. May all we do this day bring you honor and reveal your glory. We ask this in the mighty name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. There's something about Shavuot that feels electric. An ancient festival, yes, but also a pivotal moment in the story of God and his people. For centuries, Shavuot was about the giving of the Torah at Sinai, God's voice thundering, fire on the mountain, and a people trembling at the presence of holiness. But for us who follow Messiah, Shavuot is also Pentecost, the day God's Spirit moved from stone tablets to living hearts. It started with a sound like a mighty rushing wind and tongues like fire spreading out and settling on each one of them in that upper room. They began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance and appeared to be drunk to some visiting Jerusalem that day. But Peter stood up and preached, and people were moved, and 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom that day. However, the promise of Shavuot, now called Pentecost in the Christian world, is much older than the upper room. Centuries before tongues of fire fell, prophets like Ezekiel and Jeremiah were already speaking of a day when God would do something new, something radical. Ezekiel 36:26-27 says, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the stony heart from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my ruach within you. Then I will cause you to walk in my laws, so you will keep my rulings and do them." Jeremiah 31:32-33 says, "But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. It is a declaration of Adonai. I will put my Torah within them. Yes, I will write it on their heart. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will each teach his neighbor or his brother, saying, 'Know Adonai,' for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. It is a declaration of Adonai." And as Peter said, this is what was spoken about through the prophet Joel. "And it shall be in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my ruach on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my slaves, male and female, I will pour out my ruach in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will give wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and smoky vapor. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of Adonai comes. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Adonai shall be saved. Yeshua had instructed his disciples to wait for the promise. And this was the promise, the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues and empowering the disciples to be witnesses. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit for a few minutes. Because names matter. And we've been studying the names of God these past few months. And tonight we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. In the scriptures, names are never just labels. They're revelations. We have been studying many names of God. So tonight, as we talk about Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about a vague force, like in Star Wars, where they say, may the force be with you, but the very personality and power of God himself. He is not a concept, but he is the very presence of the one true God dwelling with us and in us. This is the same Spirit who hovered over the waters at creation, breathing life into the dust. Ruach means wind or breath or spirit, a force that is invisible but undeniable. HaKodesh means the holy. So this is the breath of God that sets apart, sanctifies, makes us more than we could ever be on our own. John said it like this in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and apart from him, nothing was made that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered it. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But whoever did receive him, those trusting in his name, to these he gave the right to become children of God. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. It's a powerful passage, one of our foundational passages that prove that we worship one true God. And so it says in John that our Creator is God, and he became flesh. Yeshua is our God. Amen. When Jesus prepared his disciples for his departure, he promised another Parakletos, someone called alongside to help, encourage, and defend. Parakletos means the advocate or the helper. So that's one name or title that the Holy Spirit has. The Spirit isn't just a distant power. He's the helper who walks with us through every trial. When you don't know what to pray, he groans for you. When you feel alone, he stands beside you. When you don't know which path to take, he guides you in the way you should go. I know I'm glad for the Holy Spirit. As our advocate, he ever lives to make intercession for us. In John 14:17, it says, in a world drowning in half-truths and confusion, the Spirit is the one who guides us into all truth. Not just correct doctrine, but the truth about who God is and who we are in him. He exposes the lies that hold us back and anchors us in the reality of God's love. In Romans 8:15, we're told about the Spirit of adoption. Without the Spirit, we're slaves to fear. With him, we cry, Abba, Father, a child's cry for their dad. The Spirit reminds us that we are not orphans. We belong. We are chosen, adopted, loved. When you feel rejected or unworthy, remember the Spirit of adoption lives in you. In 2 Timothy 1:7, we're told we have the Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. God's Spirit never brings fear or timidity. Instead, He empowers us with courage, fills us with love, and steadies our minds. When the world is shaking, the Spirit anchors us with supernatural peace and clarity. He's the Comforter, perhaps one of the sweetest names for the Spirit. Life is full of loss, disappointment, and pain. The Comforter doesn't just offer sympathy from a distance. He comes close, wrapping us in God's embrace. He is a presence that dries our tears and gives hope again. Have you ever sung that song, "Wrap Me in Your Arms, Wrap Me in Your Arms"? That song, we are crying out for the Spirit of God to wrap us in His arms, to hold us close, to comfort us, and help us to know that we are loved and accepted. In John 14:18-20, Yeshua says, "I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer behold me, but you will behold me. Because I live, you also will live. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Hallelujah. That's such a powerful key right there to the one true God belief system. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you, is what Yeshua said. And how did He come to us? As Holy Spirit. So other verses to support this one is Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Messiah, and it is no longer I who live. Messiah lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me." This makes it clear, doesn't it? Our life as believers is actually His life within us. That will make a change in how you behave, won't it? Or it should. Think about it. Colossians 1:26-27 says, "The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints, whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Messiah in you, the hope of glory." There it is again. Messiah in you. Paul calls this the great mystery of the ages. Messiah in you. Romans 8:9-11. "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Messiah, he does not belong to Him. If Messiah is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Messiah Yeshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Notice how Paul uses Spirit of God, Spirit of Messiah, and just Messiah in you interchangeably. It's one and the same. Here's 2 Corinthians 13:5. "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Messiah Yeshua is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?" Messiah Yeshua in you, in me. Paul is direct. The mark of true faith is Yeshua dwelling within. How does he dwell in? The Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:16-17, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. Here, the presence of the Spirit results in Messiah himself living in our hearts. Why do we say, Jesus, come into my heart? Can we pray that prayer? Yeah. John 17:20-23. This is Yeshua's prayer. I do not ask on behalf of those alone, but for those who also believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. Yeshua prays for the same unity between us and God as exists between him and the Father. He in us, we in him. Oh, this is another key here. Yeshua is in the Father. Father is in Yeshua. They're one. And we are to be one with him. This is a mystery. We don't necessarily understand it, but we must believe it. 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. John ties our union with God directly to the gift of the Spirit. Earlier we said Holy Spirit was our advocate and helper. As our advocate, he ever lives to make intercession for us, according to Hebrews 7:25. When we read Romans 8:34, it says, Messiah Yeshua is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who indeed is interceding for us. Now, sometimes people hear that phrase, at the right hand of God, and imagine two different beings, almost like two gods. That's not what Scripture are teaching. The right hand in the Bible is a way of talking about power and authority and honor. It's a picture, not a literal spot in heaven. It's the way the Bible tells us that Yeshua, who is God's very own word and presence, has all authority and is acting on our behalf. Now, if he has all authority and he's acting on our behalf, that bodes well for us. Yes, amen. And this is the wonder of Pentecost. The same Yeshua who has all authority, the same one who intercedes for us, is also present in us by his Spirit. There's not two or three gods. There is one God who is everywhere at once. He is on the throne, interceding with all authority. And by his Spirit, he is also as close as our next breath, dwelling within us, guiding, comforting, and empowering us. So when Romans says Yeshua intercedes at the right hand of God, and the rest of the scriptures say the Spirit intercedes within us, it's not two different intercessors. It's the one true God, Messiah Yeshua, working in power and love, both in heaven and right here within our hearts. Wow. Think about that. He's interceding for us to himself. He's declaring to himself what will be for us, that we would make the right choices, that we would be healed, that we would be blessed. What a powerful thought to know that the one true God is praying for you. Wow. God is praying for you. Then how can you not be blessed? How can you not be healed? All we have to do is believe it and grab hold of it by faith. Reading these scriptures one after the other really tends to connect the dots and make the truth clear, doesn't it? Wow. Yeshua, Messiah, living in us, dwelling in us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of Messiah Yeshua. I pray that your mind or Trinitarian beliefs are not blocking this truth from getting in, because this really is life-changing. If we understand and believe that Yeshua is in us and with us through his Holy Spirit, it should cause us to want to live differently. Ask yourself, where are you taking Yeshua? What is Yeshua watching on TV with you or on your laptop? What kind of Yeshua are you modeling for those around you? Maybe "what would Jesus do" should be more than a marketing catchphrase. Yeah. And I know we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We forget who we are. But if we understand that his laws are written on our hearts, it will communicate clearly that "I am not under the law" is not the same thing as "there is no law." They're not the same thing. "I am not under the law," true. "There is no law," false. Remember, Shavuot was and is a celebration of the law, Torah, being given to Israel. As we learned last week, we are Israel. And as I pointed out earlier, Ezekiel and Jeremiah told us that Yahweh will write his law, Torah, on our hearts, and this will cause us to walk in his ways. And his ways are written in his law. In Matthew 5, 17 through 19, we are told that Yeshua said, "Do not think that I come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or serif shall ever pass away from the Torah, until all things come to pass. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Oh, what do you want to be, great or least? I know I want to be great. I'm not trying to be prideful, but I don't want to be one of the least. I will not, to the best of my ability, teach you to break one of the laws or commandments of the Lord. No, we have a new understanding of the laws. And studying the laws helps us know how to keep them. We may keep them differently than Israel did in the past, but we still keep them. Yeshua is the Word made flesh. When we repent and are baptized, we receive his Spirit as a gift. And I detailed what a Spirit in us does for us. Empowers us to be his witnesses, to live for him, to know, understand his ways and walk in them. But what exactly does it mean to not be under the law? To understand what Paul means when he says we are not under the law, we need to look closely at the context and the bigger story of Scripture. Sometimes people hear this phrase and think it means God's law doesn't matter anymore, or they're free to do whatever they want to do. That's not what the apostles taught. And it's not what the Spirit writes on our hearts. In Romans 6:14, Paul says, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." So what's he getting at, under the law? Isn't that the same as without the law? No. To be under the law means to be under its condemnation, guilty, exposed, and powerless to truly change ourselves. The Torah shows us what's good and holy, but it can't give us the power to live it out. It points out the problem, but it doesn't fix it. But the promise of Shavuot and the gift of the Spirit changes everything. Paul says in Romans 8, 3 through 4, "For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We are not under the law as a system of condemnation or as an external code trying to shape us from the outside. I mean, in the law, people were stoned for certain sins. Aren't you glad we're not under that law? We can repent and turn from the sin and live. Amen? So instead, by the Spirit, God writes his Torah on our hearts. He changes us from the inside out. The Spirit empowers us to actually love what God loves and to walk in his ways, not out of fear, but out of the new life we've been given. That's why the Bible says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. You've been saved. There's an inward change. Now we got to get that on the outside so it's apparent to those around us that God is real and he's alive and he's living in you. He's living in me. It needs to show on the outside. But when Paul says you are not under law, he's not saying God's ways or God's standards have changed. He's saying the way we relate to God's law is utterly transformed. We're not trying to earn acceptance or righteousness by our own effort. That's a dead end. Instead, we're living from the acceptance and righteousness Messiah has already given us. We obey, not to become God's people, but because we already are his people. We don't keep his commandments to get closer to him. We keep them because he is already living within us. It's starting to make sense. Paul says it plainly in Galatians 5:16-18. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Spirit leads us into a new kind of obedience. One born from love, not fear. From inside, not just outside. What does that look like? It looks like Messiah himself. The one who fulfilled the Torah perfectly and is now living through us. On Sinai, God wrote his law on tablets of stone. At Pentecost, he wrote it on living hearts. What began with fire on a mountain ends with fire resting on each believer. The Spirit is the fulfillment of every promise, every name, every longing for God's nearness. It means you are not alone. God himself has chosen to dwell in you. It means you are empowered. Whatever God calls you to do, his Spirit will equip you. It means you are adopted, loved, and never rejected. It means you have an advocate, a helper, a comforter, and a guide. As we celebrate Shavuot, let's not just remember what God did long ago. Let's open our hearts to what his Spirit wants to do in us today. Let him fill you, guide you, comfort you, empower you. Let the fire that fell at Pentecost burn in your life so that you can be the living proof of God's indwelling presence in the world. As we celebrate Shavuot and Pentecost, let's remember, you are not under the law. Means you are not under the law's curse or its condemnation. But you are not lawless either. Messiah is in you by his Spirit, and the law is written on your heart. Let him lead you. Let him shape your desires. Let his life shine through yours. That's the promise and the invitation of Pentecost. Let's pray. Abba Father, thank you for the gift of Shavuot, for speaking at Sinai, and for writing your law on our hearts. Thank you for Yeshua, the living word, but for the gift of your Holy Spirit, your very presence within us. Holy Spirit, we invite you to fill us afresh. Burn away every trace of fear, shame, and self-reliance. Write your ways deep within us. Empower us to love as you love, to walk as you walk, and to be living proof of your presence in this world. We confess that we cannot do this on our own. We need you, our advocate, comforter, and guide. Lead us into all truth. Remind us that we are adopted, chosen, and never rejected. Help us to live every day aware that Messiah himself dwells in us and that nothing can separate us from your love. May the fire of Pentecost burn in our hearts, not just today, but every day. Use us to shine your light, speak your truth, and extend your love to those around us. We pray this in the mighty name of Yeshua Messiah. Amen. As we prepare to leave, I want to remind you, if you're interested in being baptized, or if you have a dream you'd like interpreted, just shoot me an email at lotsofloveministries@yahoo.com. I'd love to connect with you. Now, as you allow Holy Spirit to fill you and empower you to be his witnesses in your spheres of influence this week, may there be shalom in your home.